This episode of Voices of the Elephant is brought to you by GitHub. Looking for an interesting open source project to contribute to or use? Go to github.com/explore to discover all kinds of fascinating and useful projects, and github.com/trending to see what's most popular in the open source community.
Welcome to the Voices of the Elephant podcast. Each episode of Voices of the Elephant brings you an interview with a member of the PHP community. From project leaders to user group organizers, we talk to the people that are helping make the PHP community special. Hi, and welcome to another episode of Voices of the Elephant. My name is Cal Evans, and I'm your host. And today, my special guest is Taze Farron. Say hey, everybody, Taze.
Hi, how are you doing all?
Did I get the name right?
You got the name absolutely
awesome.
Right. Awesome.
Yeah, I've been practicing that.
We've been doing it. Very bit of practicing.
Before we get started, my favorite thing, one of the things I always like to tell people when I'm talking about you is a couple years ago, my wife and I, the lovely and talented Kathy, came over to PHP, the Dutch PHP conference. I was speaking there, and we were going to make our way down to London, but we wanted to stop in Bruges because we saw the movie in Bruges. We had to go to Bruges.
Of course.
And I was tweeting about it, and you started tweeting back to me. It says, oh, you need to go here, and you go here. And we started emailing, and you sent me this long list. And one of the things that you did, and some of the advice we took, was we stayed at a little, it used to be a convent, L'Orange.
Yeah, Orangerie.
Yeah, Orangerie. That's it. Yeah. And it was absolutely wonderful. So thank you for that. Thank
you
for
welcome.
Putting yourself out
there.
I
used to live there, so for me it was like, okay, I need to point Cal and Kathy in the right direction.
Well, you did, because we just had an absolute wonderful time. But you're also a you're a member of the Benelux PHP community. You're a leader in that. But one of the things that I discovered just in talking to you is you're a very prolific speaker. I'd like to talk to you. First of all, how many sessions have you got this year?
I keep track of them. I can't give you the exact number right now because this podcast will end up in me counting all of them. In the process of several years, I've gathered a fair amount of speaking experience, and as of last week, I've hit the number of 117 talks.
Wow.
In a couple of years, and I still have a couple of talks upcoming, but it's just a passion of mine. I love doing it.
That's incredible, and you showed me the webpage. It just keeps scrolling and scrolling, you know.
It's because of the big font.
I mean, yeah, I don't think so. It's because of the number of talks on them. I mean, I do a talk. The one I performed here at DrupalCon Amsterdam, I wrote for Midwest PHP, but I'll do that several times. But you just keep scrolling and scrolling the list of new talks. Where do you come up with all of this?
Well, it basically comes from me engaging with my target audience. Target audience being clients, also community people. I just walk around in the community, see what's up, and if there's a technology or a topic that is of great interest to me, mm-hmm. I start thinking about it, start doing things with it. And when I hit a certain level where I feel confident about it, I make a talk.
Excellent. Well, that's good advice. Since you have done so many sessions, you've spoken at so many sessions, and there's so many people that are trying to break into speaking, and I'm doing the quotey fingers. No, you can't see me on the podcast, but because to me, there's really no breaking in. You just you find your local user group, and you say, hey, I'll go talk.
That's basically it.
But what advice would you give to speakers?
Don't give up, because I had a very frustrating time getting into the speaking business.
Mm-hmm.
I was lucky enough that my company supported me in doing it. So that was big, that was huge to me. Another thing that was huge to me was the support from the community I had. So I was very, very fortunate to get my first break thanks to Lorna Jane Mitchell.
Oh,
yes. At DPC, I will never forget that. I'm eternally grateful for it. So there you go. I had the opportunity to speak here in Amsterdam, where Cal and I are sitting right now, at the RAI at DPC 2010. I did my very first talk there, and everything else is history. I got 3 international speaking slots that same quarter.
Wow. And you know, it really isn't who you know, but who, you know, if you can attract the attention of somebody, Lorna is one of there's 2 or 3 just prolific speakers in our community, and if you can get the attention of one of them and they recommend you to someone.
It's, there you go.
That
if
makes,
someone vouches for you.
Yeah, that makes all the difference in the world. So, you know, yeah, you've got to have a good talk and you got to get out there, but it doesn't hurt to make friends with these people. The wonderful thing, though, is all the people that I'm thinking of in my head, is, like I said, three or four of them, are wonderful, friendly people. It's not like you've got to pay homage to them or suck up to them or anything like that. You just got to introduce yourself and start talking to them, and they're very friendly people. And you know, if they know you need a leg up and you're willing to work for it.
Absolutely.
I don't know any of them.
That's one aspect. Another aspect is you have to be out there.
Oh, yeah.
You can't
have
do
to
it
put
sitting
yourself
home.
Out there.
You have to go to the events.
Yeah.
Go to your local meetup group. And there's a sort of unwritten set of rules, sort of hierarchy. Mm-hmm. Go to your meetup group. Start practicing there. I know a guy who did a really good job on his first speaking gig, but his very first speaking gig was ZenCon main stage. So
that's
frightening. And it turned him off, which is a pity because it was a great opportunity for him. So start off small, start with small amounts of people, 20, 40, maybe 50, and then ramp up. I had my first time I had 650 people in the room was last week, which was a big deal for me.
Very
so,
good.
But once you hit those numbers, when you go over 100, you know, get extra nervous about it.
Yeah.
So be out there, try meetups first, then try to push your way into unconferences, perhaps, because that's a great opportunity, and you can use that as leverage for conference organizers. Like, look, I was at conference A, B, or C, and I did a good result. I do remember that the people of DPC here in Amsterdam have mm-hmm. this little rule that the best-rated unconference talk gets a slot at the next conference,
that
and that's brilliant.
That is a phenomenal thing that they do.
We have to do that with PHP Benelux. We recently started with the unconference. We did that last year,
uh-huh.
or last edition for the first time, and it's paying off, so I'm pretty sure we need to discuss this.
That is the coolest thing, and yeah, they've been doing that for a couple of years, and props to them for doing that.
But there is a responsibility to the community as well. We, as like me and a bunch of other guys like Michelangelo, we lead the Belgian community, and we have a responsibility of spotting local talent and mm-hmm. giving them a stage, a platform to do so. Because it's not about us, it's not about being great speakers and getting all the speaking gigs. It's about supporting the local community, and we have a lot of people with ambition that approach us and that ask us, how can we be part of this? We want to do this too, and our employer supports us. We got the budget to travel, and we promote them. At a given point in time, when you have enough of speaking or speaking experience, people tend to listen to you as well. And if you vouch for someone else, it's just this chain.
And the thing I love about the PHP community is, we have a core group of speakers that at any given conference you're going to see Derek, and you're going to see Sarah, and you're going to see Liz Smith. You know,
absolutely.
But the PHP community is so welcoming of new talent. You know, when Keith Casey and I, a good friend of mine, used to run tech, and we had a rule that 1/3 of all the speakers had to be new. You know, they could not have spoken anywhere else other than local user groups. We were looking for people that had local user group experience, but we always wanted to make sure that we saved slots for the people that were trying to break into it. And from that, my good friend Luke Stokes of FoxyCart, he did his very first talk at Tech because I told him, I says, you know, you've got to do this. Submit something to me. And we accepted it, and now he speaks all over the place. So.
Sure, but you have to be confident about this. Like, for native English speakers such as yourself, it's a bit easier.
Mm.
I'm a Dutch native speaker, so although I find myself to be quite fluent in English, it's still a matter of doing like instantaneous translation.
Yeah.
You have to make sure. I'm not saying you should think in English because you think in your native language, but you have to be
able to communicate efficiently in English.
And that's a personal note. That's not something that is a rule or a law. I strongly believe in not just entertainment, but delivery.
Yeah.
A talk should be well delivered at first. Then you get enough credit from the audience. You buy into that. And once you have enough credit, people will listen to you.
Yeah.
If your talk is interesting, that's a good start, but it needs to be well delivered above anything else.
I'm a firm believer in entertaining.
I know that.
Your audience, you have to entertain your audience.
You do.
And you're right. If you and you have to be comfortable on stage. If you're not comfortable, your audience is not going to enjoy the talk. They're not going to listen to you. They're not going to be comfortable. That's why it's something I always do is 5 minutes before my talk, I'm up there talking to my audience. It's not part of the talk. I'm just getting to know them, getting them comfortable with me. And I tell a lot of bad jokes and make fun of myself and stuff like that, but That's part of the process of getting them comfortable with me, so that when I do hit the stage and my time starts, we've gotten all of the uncomfortable out of the way, and we're now ready to have a conversation.
And putting your own identity into the scale really helps, because there's so much tech talks, like which one will you, let's say we're here at DrupalCon, there are 10 simultaneous tracks or so.
How will you decide?
Yeah. So if you, as a speaker, you build up a certain reputation, people will tend to go to your talks because they know it'll be interesting, and then if the content matches what they expect.
I agree.
Right. So that's my basic advice to people who want to.
But circling back around, as someone who's organized conferences now for 10 years, and I've been lucky to be able to be involved in conferences for the past 10 years. I'm always amazed. I get these, I'll send out the rejection notices, what I call the Dear John letters, and I send out a bunch of those, and I
hate
it. I got
a fair number by you. I remember.
I hate it every time. But every conference, I'll get one or two that are just upset at me. Well, you don't give anybody a new chance. Well, you don't, you know, this is, or you know, I'll have people tell me you owe it to me because I'm a new speaker or something like that. And it's like, as a conference organizer, I have one responsibility, and that's to the ticket holder. That's it, because they're the ones paying the bills. And everything else, if you want a slot, you got to earn it. And the way you earn it is you go start talking at your local user groups, like we said, and regionals, you know, find your other area user groups and get out there and get your name known. We're looking for new talent, you know, and I know you guys with Benelux, you're looking
absolutely
for new
and not
local
just
talent.
Local talent at the meetup groups. Mm-hmm. Like, we have a responsibility of promoting our own speakers internationally, but we are very welcoming for international people who are traveling around and who end up in our area to welcome them to our meetups and speak, because we like variation and diversity.
Hey, we've talked about speaking, but let's talk about the other side of that, which is conference organizing, because you're one of the organizers for PHP Benelux, which is, honest to goodness, one of my favorite conferences ever. That's even good. Though I've only been to one, you've had the good sense to reject me for every other one, but I was there at the very first one. I think I was the closing keynote for the very first one.
You were, and things have changed, and we need to submit again. I know you've been trying to bribe us for a long time. We don't take bribes, but we would be happy to welcome you again, so submit.
See, that's the reason I get talks, is people take bribes, so it's not on the content.
We don't take bribes, but if you have a something really good and inspirational, we'll be happy to welcome you.
And the call for papers...
Is open.
This talk right, or as of this recording right now, is open. When does it close?
Well, it closes on the 7th of October.
Okay, it'll probably close before this is released, because that's next week, I think. Yeah, and this is I've got a couple more in front of that. But if you missed it, you know, you missed your opportunity, but have no fear. Another one will come around next year.
So. Buy a ticket and be part of it.
And bring your talk to the UnCon.
Definitely. So this will be the second. It's the sixth time that we're doing a conference. Mm-hmm. Last year was our fifth anniversary, which was great. We went all out.
Oh, I know. And I was talking with Ross Tuck earlier.
Who was there?
He was there, and he said two words: bumper cars.
Everyone used that. So the last 3 years, I've been nagging to the fellow crew members, dudes. We need to get bumper cars. I am a strong believer that a good conference consists of a couple of things. First and foremost, good content. So you need excellent speakers who are subject matter experts, who have excellent things to say and could deliver it in a entertaining fashion. That first. Second of all the logistics need to fit. So people need to get there. The food needs to be good. They need to have accommodation. But third, and that's a very important one, there needs to be entertainment. There needs to be social activities. Mm-hmm. And you can use something cultural in there, local traditions, local culinary specialties. And that's why people tend to stay. People come for the content, but they stay for the parties. And for years, I've been raving to the guys, come on, guys, we need bumper cars. We need something that has never been done before. And we've did it. We've spent a fair amount of money on that out of our own budget. It was absolutely worth it. If you check out the pictures, there's a bunch of pictures on Flickr, I guess. And you can, if you look for hashtag PHPBNL14, I'm pretty sure you'll find some interesting footage. When I was here at DPC in June, people approached me and said the bumper carts were awesome. The bruises were less awesome.
Well, yeah, I understand there was a lot of bruising and stuff.
Yeah, but that's...
But no, that's... as a conference organizer, because a lot, at least in the U.S., we're seeing an explosion of regional conferences. As someone who's done this now, what one piece of advice would you give to someone considering setting up a regional conference in their area, whether U.S. or anywhere worldwide?
It's not something typical I'm going to say now, but make sure you have the organization to fund it. Mm-hmm. Because organizing conferences is fun, but there's money involved. And when there's money involved, there's risk. Yeah. So make sure you either have a legal entity, sort of nonprofit organization, and make sure you have someone who keeps the books. We are very, very fortunate that we have Leon in our user group. He's a professional accountant.
Nice.
He doesn't program, he doesn't do web, but he open sources his accountancy knowledge and helps us keep the books. And that keeps us healthy. And if the money is right, I'm not saying you should make money or get profit, but you don't want to pay it out of your own pocket. So that's the first step. Yep. Make sure if you organize a conference, it's completely different than meetups. Get the money right. Make sure that there's not a lot of risk, that you can pay the bills and look for sponsors. Get the ticket price right. And if you get that out of the way, there's a lot of stress off your shoulders and you can actually then focus on the really nice things.
Yep.
That's my main advice.
That's excellent advice. Let's transition now. We've talked about your speaking, and you mentioned you have a great employer that supports your efforts to get out in the community. Tell us about your employer. Tell us what you do for them.
Well, I work at a company called Combell. Mm-hmm. We're a hosting company. I've been working there for this year exactly 10 years, so it's a decade at the company. I've never had another employer, so I went from school to them. We were small time in the beginning. I remember we were 7 people. I was number 7. And now we are 120, 130 people and have become the market leader in Belgium and broadly expanding. We have divisions now in the Netherlands. So we like hosting. And at a given point in time, I've been doing this evangelism job for 3.5 years now. Mm-hmm. We noticed that there are a lot of people, a lot of people of interest to us that we can engage with, can talk to them. We can teach them a thing or two about the technology we use, and they can teach us a lot of stuff about the stuff they want to host. And for us, it's a matter of bridging that eternal gap between code and infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
Don't want to call it DevOps, because DevOps is more than just that, but bridging that gap is really important for me. And that's the reason why I'm here. There are interesting sessions, so I'm going to learn a thing or two about technology.
Mm-hmm.
And things I know will be confirmed here by experts. But for me, it's very important to talk to clients, also people who are involved with technology in general. And my employer, I am very, very grateful that he supports me in doing it. And he believes in investment on the long run. These things don't pay back in a year or two.
No, they don't.
We've been 3.5 years into the process, and we're now seeing some payback on it. People starting to know us. A couple of interesting contracts, big contracts, that came along because of people knowing that we're involved with user groups, with the community, that we are there where they are, and we share their passion.
Very
that's
cool.
What it's about. Eventually, and that's with all companies, it's about getting the profit, but you need to find an employer that believes in long-term investments.
Yeah.
And I'm eternally grateful to Combell for doing that.
That's excellent. Yeah, I talk with several people about developer evangelism, and the first thing I tell them is this is not going to move the needle immediately. This is a long-term play. You have to get out there and get your name known. But when you're dealing with developers, if you've got a developer out there talking to developers, I mean, that's the way you get their attention.
It's the best sales you could do.
Yeah, and participating in the community, you know, like you do, where you get out there and you not only go out and shake hands, hand out t-shirts, stickers, all that kind of stuff, but you get up and you teach developers how to do better PHP, and you get a lot of respect for that.
Yeah, and it's an ideal way to, because if you're doing conference calls or doing meetings with the clients, it's very formal, or it tends to be formal. Mm-hmm. But here you can talk to developers in an informal way.
And yeah.
It's a good way to appreciate what these clients do for you or what you do for them.
That's phenomenal. Okay, let's wrap this up. I'll ask you the same two questions I ask everybody at the end of Voices of the Elephant. What is your local user group and what is the URL?
The local user group is called PHP Benelux. Our URL is just phpbenelux.eu. We have a separate conference website, which is conference.phpbenelux.eu.
Mm-hmm.
And just like any other meetup group, we have a meetup page, meetup.com/phpbenelux.
And of course, I cannot finish this out, since we're talking about PHP Benelux, without mentioning the fact that you do have the godfather of the PHP community, Mr. Michelangelo Van Dam, the man with the coolest damn name on the entire internet.
Yes.
And he is also in the leadership with you.
He is. And there's a bunch of other guys, because people know Michelangelo and people know me, but there's a bunch of other guys. We have Paul in there. We have Leon, our accountant. Mm-hmm. We have Jeroen. We have Richard. We have Martin. So it's a very mixed group of Dutch and Belgian people. And it works.
Very cool. Well, I mean, one of the things I see in every successful PHP user group is a group of committed people running it, not just a person running it.
And everyone has his own task.
Yes.
That's important.
Yeah. That's excellent. Well, Taze, I want to thank you for being here, take time to talk to us, and thank you for everything that you do for the PHP community.
Thank you for having me, Cal.
Thanks for listening to Voices of the Elephant. Voices of the Elephant is copyright EICC Incorporated and released under a Creative Commons Attribution, No Derivatives, Share and Share Alike license. To nominate someone to be a guest on Voices of the Elephant, visit our website and click on the nominate link. The URL is voicesoftheelephant.com. Elephant is, of course, spelled ELEPHPANT.